Welcome in. This is an advanced DJ Tools style lesson in Ableton Live 12, how to build that retro rave transition car for jungle and old school DNB. You know the move. The mix thins out. Tension rises. Everything feels like it's getting pulled through a narrow tube, then the drop slams, because the spectrum and the dynamics were deliberately carved beforehand. We're going audio first on purpose. We're going to resample the transition moment, print it as a clip, and then abuse it like it's 1994, warp it, reverse it, gate it, dirty it up, and turn it into a reusable transition tool you can drag into other projects. Set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 172. I'll use 170 BPM in this walkthrough. Before we touch any effects, do a little session prep so resampling doesn't get messy. In preferences under record, warp, and launch, switch auto warp long samples off. That keeps your resampled recordings from being helpfully warped behind your back. Also turn create fades on clip edges on, because we're going to do edits and reverses, and those tiny fades save you from clicks. Now create a simple layout. Make a drums group for your break and tops. Make a bass group for sub and restuff. Make a music or effects track for stabs, pads, atmos, whatever you've got. Then create two audio tracks, one called Carve Bus and one called Impact. And make a few returns. Return A is reverb, return B is dub delay, return C is optional, noise or IR for texture. Here's the routing mindset. We're going to create an actual mix move during the transition, then print that moment as audio. The print is the thing you'll rewarp and re-edit. This gives you consistency and save CPU, but more importantly, it encourages commitment. You stop endlessly tweaking and you start arranging. Now step 1. Build the carve chain on a dedicated bus, not on the recorder. We want the transition to thin out without just turning the song down. Volume fades can work, but classic rave tension comes from spectral thinning and dynamic control. So instead of pulling faders, we remove the weight. Create a group track called PRE Drop SUM. Route your drums, bass, and music slash FX into that group for the transition section. You can keep your overall song routing however you like, but for this lesson, imagine PRE Drop SUM is the everything that's about to get carved bus. On the carve bus track, set audio from to master, or if you prefer cleaner control, set it to receive from a dedicated print SUM. I'll talk about that in a second. Either way, set monitor to off so you don't double monitor. You only want it to record, not play the master back on top of itself. Important: put the carve processing on PRE Drop SUM, not on the carve bus recorder. That way you're actually mixing into the carve. It's a real transition move, not just post-processing a recording. On pre-drop sum, drop in an EQ 8 first. This is the main carve. Enable a high-pass filter, and make it steep if you want it dramatic, like 48 dB per octave. Start the cutoff around 35 to 45 HC at the beginning of your transition. Over 4 to 8 bars, automate it up to somewhere like 140 to 200 HC. That's the moment where the floor drops out from under the listener. Then add a wide bell dip, maybe minus 2 to minus 5 dB around 250 to 450 HC. This is the remove chest and box zone. It's one of the reasons the drop feels huge after, because you've been starving the low mids. Optionally add a small high shelf boost, plus 1 to plus 3 dB around 8 to 12 kHz right near the peak of the transition. That's your airlift. Next device, auto filter. Set it to a high pass mode, 12 or 24 dB per octave. Add a little drive, like 3 to 6 dB, because we want bite and urgency, not just clean filtering. Now automate the auto filter frequency too, but offset it slightly from your EQ curve. If EQ 8 is doing the big steady carve, let auto filter do the more performative sweep. Two-stage movement feels more like someone's hands are on the mixer. Next, saturator. Put it in analog clip. Drive 2 to 5 dB. Soft clip on. Then trim the output so you're not just nuking the master. We want energy and grit, not a flattened transition. Then a compressor for glue. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds so you keep some punch. Release on auto or somewhere like 80 to 150 milliseconds. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction as the sweep rises, just enough to make it feel like the whole mix is getting squeezed into a funnel. Teacher tip: keep all the big carve automation on the PRE Drop SUM track, not scattered across individual tracks. One lane per macro move. It's faster, and it's how you'll actually work when you're arranging. Step 2. Add classic jungle tension layers. This is where the old school vibe really shows up: noise, time stretch tails, echoes, and at gated reverb chop. On return A, reverb. Load hybrid reverb. Pick hall or plate. Decay between 2.5 and 5.5 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds so the initial hit still reads before the wash blooms. Low cut the reverb around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't swallow your low end. High cut around 7 to 10 kHz so it stays smooth. After that, at EQ 8, high pass again around 250 to 400 Hz. If the reverb is biting in the 2 to 4 kHz range, notch it a little. Then add a gate. Set the threshold so the tail clamps in a rhythmic way. If you want it even tighter, you can sidechain the gate from drums, but even self-triggering can work for that classic gated rave clamp. On return B, dub delay, use echo. Set time to dotted eighth or quarter. Feedback 25 to 45%. Filter it. High pass around 250 Hz, low pass around 6 to 9 kHz. Add a touch of modulation, like 2 to 5%, just enough to make it wobble and feel alive. Optional return C, noise or air. This can be an analog's noise oscillator or a simple noise sample. Band pass it with auto filter and add a touch of saturation. Keep it quiet. This is glue and urgency, not a lead. Step 3, print the transition. This is the commitment point. Set a loop over 4 or 8 bars right before your drop. Arm the carve bus track. Hit record and play through the section. While your automation moves, the high pass rises. The sends creep up. The delay starts to talk back. The reverb starts to clamp and breathe. Stop recording. Choose the best take and consolidate it so it becomes one clean clip. Name it something you'll recognize later, like Carve Print 170 BPM 8 bars. Treat it like a DJ tool. A reusable piece of transition audio. Quick coach note, if you're doing lots of fader rides or last second mutes, resampling from master can accidentally bake in moves you didn't mean to commit. A cleaner method is to route drums, bass, and music into a dedicated print SUM track and resample that instead. It keeps your main mix faders free for performance while your printed tool stays consistent. Step 4. Turn the print into a retro rave riser by abusing audio. Open the printed audio clip. Turn warp on. For full mix prints, Complex Pro is usually the move because it keeps things coherent. Keep formants conservative, like 0 to 30. Envelope somewhere around 80 to 128 for smoother results. Now do a simple but very effective edit. Duplicate the clip. Reverse the first half. Keep the second half forward. Add a tiny fade at the splice so it doesn't click. That reverse into forward motion is instantly rave. It feels like the track inhales, then throws forward into the downbeat. Now add post-clip devices on the carve bus track to exaggerate the lift. First, auto-filter in band pass mode, BP12. Automate frequency rising something like 400 Hz up to 4 kHz. Set resonance around 0.7 to 1.2. You want a tasteful squeal, not a self-oscillating siren that murders the mix. Then add redux for that 90s crust. Set bit depth around 10 to 12 so it's audible but not destroyed. Downsample maybe 2 up to 6, and you can automate it slightly upward right near the end for extra crunch. Then utility for a stereo trick. Automate width from 100% up to around 140 in the last bar or two. And this part is crucial. Hard reset it to 100% at the drop. The contrast is the whole game. Even more crucial coach note, do mono discipline in two stages. Widening can smear punch if you let low and go wide. So on the resampled print, allow your width automation, but then add an EQ after it in M/S mode and high pass the sides somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. That means the widening mostly affects the upper spectrum. Then on the drop, enforce mono sub. Use utility bass mono, or keep width controlled below your chosen crossover. This is how you get wide excitement without losing club punch. Step 5. Create the carve stop, the moment of silence. This is a classic DJ tension move, a tiny choke right before the drop. You can do an eighth note mute on PRE drop SUM right before the downbeat, or do a quick volume automation dip over the last 16th to 8th note, fading to minus infinity and then snapping back at the drop. Key detail, don't mute your returns at the same time. Let the reverb tail and delay tail hang over the silence. That floating tail is what makes the stop feel huge instead of awkward. If the tails bloom too hard, high pass the returns more aggressively. Also, don't make the filter sweep a perfectly smooth ramp every time. Draw it like a DJ hand. Add tiny hesitations every half bar where the frequency holds for an eighth or a quarter note. And in the last beat, do a slight overshoot. Push the cutoff a bit too far, then back off right before the slam. Those micro gestures read as human, and they sell the old school vibe instantly. Step 6. Build the drop impact. This is where the slam becomes undeniable. Make an impact track with three layers, transient, sub, and mid-bite. First layer, a break hit or drum slam. Grab a clean transient from an Amen or Think-type break, or whatever break language your track uses. Place it right on the drop-down beat. Process it with drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15, crunch 0 to 20, boom 0 to 10 but keep it short. Then ek, a little lift around 3 to 5 kHz for crack, and watch 200 to 400 if it gets muddy. Second layer, sub punch. Use operator with a sine wave or a one-shot sub. Pitch it to the root. A lot of darker stuff sits nicely around F or G, but use your track. Give it a fast attack and a short decay, or match it to your first bass note. Add saturator with soft clip so the sub reads on smaller systems. Third layer, mid-bite. A short re-stab, a distorted click, or even a resampled bass transient. The idea it is, you feel the sub, you hear the transient, and you perceive aggression in the mids. Advanced timing tip. You don't have to stack everything at the exact same sample. Try placing the break crack right on the downbeat, then the sub punch 5 to 15 milliseconds later, and the mid-bite somewhere 0 to 10 milliseconds later. That tiny spread can feel bigger on loud systems because it avoids one single peak and reads as a complex hit. If you want to go full pro, resample the impact stack to audio and nudge it sample accurate. It locks timing and prevents CPU spikes right at the moment you need maximum stability. Step 7. Arrange it with a reliable 8-bar shape.